This evening we are ready to consider a very unpleasant passage, but one that the Holy Spirit has recorded for us, and so we will briefly consider it, and hopefully we can gather what the Holy Spirit has for us this evening in Genesis chapter 19, and we're ready to consider verses 30 through 38. Genesis 19, beginning at verse 30. Then Lot went up from Zoar and dwelt in the mountains, and his two daughters were with him. For he was afraid to dwell in Zoar. Remember, he had begged to go there, and after the angels gave him permission, now he's afraid. All the other cities in the region had been destroyed, and now he's beginning to question whether he should be there. And he and his two daughters dwelt in a cave. Now the firstborn said to the younger, "Our father is old, and there is no man on the earth to come in to us as is the custom of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve the lineage of our father." So they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. It happened on the next day that the firstborn said to the younger, "Indeed, I lay with my father last night. Let us make him drink wine tonight also, and you go in and lie with him, that we may preserve the lineage of our father." Then they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. Thus both the daughters of Lot were with child by their father. The firstborn bore a son and called his name Moab. He is the father of the Moabites to this day. And the younger, she also bore a son and called his name Ben-Ammi. He is the father of the people of Ammon to this day. These verses reveal the extent of the corruption of the carnality of Lot and the effect that it had on his children. For them to have this twisted idea that this plan of theirs was a good idea, that it was logical. But that is how sin corrupts man's thinking. And we need no greater evidence of that than to read the headlines of today. The twisted thinking of men that certain things that God has made clear is contrary to his will and therefore contrary to the good of mankind. And yet man is saying, "God says it's evil, but I say it's good." That's how twisted sin, even in the life of believers, how it begins to corrupt our thinking. This is why it's so important for us to understand that as Christians, when we live a life of carnality, it not only negatively impacts our life, it impacts that of our family and our children and those around us. Now, we know that it is possible for godly parents to raise a child in the fear of the Lord and do exactly what they should do as parents, and yet that child or those children go on to drift away from the Lord. We know that that's a reality. We've seen it where godly parents, their children have turned their back on God. They may be saved, but they live a life of carnality and worldliness. We know that's possible. But in Lot's case, we understand that when you don't live a life of faith in front of your children, making the will of God and his ways the priority of your life and your family, when you don't do that, then you're not giving your children an opportunity to see the reality of the power of faith in Jesus Christ. Now, you may do it, and they still may choose. But if you love your children, at least give them that opportunity. I have had people through the years tell me, many from my generation, "Well, my parents made me go to church, so I'm not going to do that to my children. I'm going to give them a choice." And we see society, that's certainly the way society is going. Let our children choose whatever they want to choose, because we don't want to dampen their imagination or their possibilities. So let the children choose. And I've never understood, again, that's part of that twisted, corrupted, sinful thinking. Why don't you just go and drop your children in the woods and let them raise themselves, if that's what you think's a smart idea? But it's not. It's foolishness. Parents, if you love your children, give them the opportunity, rather than say what many have said, "I'm not going to make my child, I'm going to let them make their decision about faith." If you really want to give your children an opportunity, you make them hear and see and be raised in the fear of the Lord so that they have something to compare. The world is going to show them their way. Don't think that the world's not going to try to force their way on your children. At least give them the opportunity of saying and seeing faith in Jesus is real, and it's the only life that leads to fullness of joy. Proverbs 22 and verse 6, we have the wisdom from Proverbs. Most of you know this. Proverbs 22 verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, this is not a promise that if you do train your child up in the fear of the Lord, they won't turn from it, but they will not be able to get away from the testimony that has been lived before them. They will be without excuse if they choose to turn their back on the ways of the Lord. When parents compromise, and we've seen this, when parents who know they're saved, they love the Lord, been saved probably most of their life, raised in a Christian family, they know they're saved, and they're glad about that. But they don't make assembling themselves together a priority in their life. If something comes up, trivial or non-trivial, it doesn't matter. The things of the Lord always take a back seat. If they have time left over, if they have energy left over, then they'll think about doing some other things that have to do with edifying their spiritual man or that of their family. But when parents do that, when they don't make their priority serving the Lord and serving God's people, their children see that. And then the next generation drifts a little further from serving and honoring the Lord. Have we seen that over the generations? We've seen from a generation or two ago the great revivals, the Holy Spirit moving, and yet now we see generations going farther and farther from that. And when you don't make the things of the Lord the priority of your life, we should not be shocked when our children go even further and go as far as some of them have gone. John 8 and verses 31 to 36, the only deterrent to sin and its destruction in our life and in that of our family is found here in John 8. It is to love the truth above everything else. And this is something that through the years of my ministry I've tried to emphasize, because there are always those who accuse us of oh, you think you are the only ones and you know everything and you think all of their believers are worthless. Those accusations they're not fair for one thing, and they're not accurate. I have always preached, our loyalty is not to a place, it's not to a pastor, it's not to an organization, it's to the Lord Jesus Christ and His truth. But if you are loyal to the Lord and His truth, that's also going to cause you to make some decisions to associate with those that also have that same priority, to love the truth of God's word, and to give others that same opportunity. So that's our love. Our love is not Abundant Grace Fellowship. Our love is not Brother Doug. It's, and then you can go back as far as you want to, it's not Grace and Glory. It's not A.S. Copley. It's not Mary Bodie. It is the Lord Jesus Christ and His truth. But truth matters, because it'll keep you from falling into the horrendous pit that Lot and his daughters fell into. John 8, verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How forgetful the corrupt mind is. The Jews have often been in bondage. How can you say you will be made free? But Jesus answered them, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Paul teaches us that's true of Christians too. Christians can be slaves to sin. Lot became a slave to sin. His daughters became slaves to sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. The truth will set you free first and foremost from the guilt and penalty of sin. And that's forever. That's once for all, and it is forever. So you'll never be a slave to that condemnation, that eternal condemnation. But on the practical level, Paul teaches us in Romans that if you commit sin as a child of God, you are forever a child, but you're a disobedient child. And you've made yourself a slave to sin. But truth will keep you from falling into that. Truth will set you free from that practical dominating of sin in your life. So again, may we follow Joshua's example. Joshua 24 and verse 15. Rather than follow Lot's example that led to such a corrupt way of thinking of his daughters that they thought that incest was the way. And even their narrow thinking that all other men had been destroyed. God had made it clear he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah and those cities in the area that were associated with Sodom and Gomorrah, the suburbs, if you will, the villages that surrounded that area. God had made it clear that he was not going to wipe out the entire human race. But again, this was their thinking. This is the only way to preserve our father's heritage. Joshua 24:15. Joshua had a different way. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. May that be a purposeful choice that each family makes. Whether anybody else does or not, whether it's popular, whether they're so often people choose what church they go to and what doctrine they listen to based on, well, I have young people and they're not enough young people and they need other young people. The reality is we know. Yes, we are a social creature and that is something God put with us. And that part of us is something that is important. But what is more important? Will we sacrifice truth in order to have social activities or those social connections? If we will make our love of the truth our priority, God will take care of all the other needs. I was raised in a church. By the time I became a young person, there were no young people meetings. There were no youth camps going on that I traveled to. The generation just before me, they had it all. And the vast majority of that generation that I'm aware of from my local assembly that I grew up in, they're not serving the Lord. They had all those opportunities, but they're not serving the Lord. So those opportunities didn't focus them on the things of the Lord. I'm not saying that there's not anything wrong with them. In fact, I think that they can be very profitable when truth is made the priority. That's what edifies. That's what prepares us for life. And so may we learn from this, again, very unpleasant chapter, not pleasant to read about incest. But there are lessons here for us to learn. There's warning signs if we will read them. May we make Christ first in our heart. May we put him aside as number one, unique over everything else. And the consequences of Lot's carnality were not only felt with this sin that was committed by his daughters, but the consequences were felt for centuries by Abraham and his descendants, because the Moabites and the Ammonites who descended from this act of incest, these acts of incest, were the two nations that were the constant enemies of Israel. So you see how the ripple of carnality and sin in the life of believers, do you see how it just goes on and on and on until somebody like Joshua stands up against the tide and says, you do what you want, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I want to be able to have an impact on the generation that follows me, but I want it to be a positive one that points them to Jesus Christ, one that prepares them for life, but even more important, that prepares them for eternity. This life is so brief. Every day there are things that are just pressing in our daily life, and again, that's just life. Nothing wrong with that, but when we allow that the pressing responsibilities of day-to-day living, when we allow them to take our eyes off of the coming of the Lord and the preparation for eternity, then we begin to go down that road of becoming the slave of sin. Fear is sin. Anxiety is sin. Faith in the truth of God's word, that's what will set us free and cause us to enjoy life to its fullest, both now and forever. Well, let's read one more passage in Romans 6. There were negative results from Lot's carnality, and there are for those of his people today that live a life of carnality. But for those who walk in the Spirit, there's fruit for that. There's a good harvest that results from that. And that's what I want from my life. And that, again, we all have the same vile old creation that is capable. This is why the warning signs are so important. If you think you've served the Lord and you've been saved so long that, well, you know, these things aren't a problem with me, I know I'm spiritual and I'm faithful. The moment we begin to neglect the things of the Lord or take them for granted, if we're not moving forward with the Lord in our walk with the Lord, you will be moving backwards. You never reach a plateau and there, that's where you stay. A lot of Christians, they have that mentality. Well, I'm saved, I'm filled, and I know the truth, and so I'm good. I don't have to be concerned about being aware of the traps of Satan or the temptations. No, your flesh is still as ugly as it was before you were saved. It hasn't changed at all. So therefore, you have to be alert. How many times does Paul exhort us, be watchful, be alert for these things? Romans 6:20. For when we were slaves of sin, we were free in regard to righteousness, doing what was right. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. He saved us from that life of sin and destruction and death. We've been set free from that condemnation. Now that we've been set free, let's make that opportunity for us to live a holy life. Let's make it real and enjoy all the benefits of everlasting life. You have it. You possess it if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior. You have life. But Jesus came not only to give us life, but to give it to us more abundantly. But that only comes from walking in the truth and making it a priority for your life and to live it in front of your children, your grandchildren, your relatives, your co-workers. May they see the reality of faith in Jesus Christ that transforms your life. I think we'll close there this evening.